Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show, where we were joined by author and journalist Harry Pearson.
Yeah.
Who's gone back, a pilgrimage back to the far-flung corners of northeast football in the farther corner. He was on great form with some good stories. We also chatted to, who else did we chat to today?
It's a good question.
Of course, Bill Rice is all a bit of a blur. I do apologise. Bill Rice, who is the man behind Steve Bruce Weddings.
Yes.
Which has become a very popular Twitter feed. And he's even opened a Steve Bruce Wedding shop. I know. It's hard to believe.
It's mad.
We had a bit of a chat about various things.
Oh, yeah,
so
we did.
I think that'll do you for now. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Of course, we'll discuss the point. We're going to discuss the situation with the crowd last night, the racist situation. But anyone who's just watched Baptiste on BBC One would not be surprised by that element in the crowd.
Right.
It's all about right-wing in Hungary and fascists. And,
okay.
You know, and I looked up the T-shirt. That T-shirt they were wearing says Hungarian Hungary, which sort of kind of says it all. Do you know what I mean?
It's really, yeah. Well, you see, the Hungarian FA have answered it and said they will identify the minority of fans in that section who cause the problems and they'll be punished, they have said.
We're not without blame either, so, you know, there's no point taking too much moral high ground, but it was pretty poor.
It was,
but the team were great, and that was
what a fine
thing.
Performance. Mm. I mean, you kind of felt that if they stuck at it, they could find a goal in the second half. I don't think any of us expected them to get four. I mean, I really felt yesterday it was going to be a 1-0, 2-1 game, the way they'd looked in the Euros Hungary. But I mean, it could have been 7-0.
No, you never have thought at half time that it was going to be 4-0.
You could see the ring rust on Harry Kane a couple of times.
Really. A great diving header and a great photo by old mate Dickie Pelham in the Sun today. Just caught him. It's one of those that the player himself had that on his wall. It was a perfect illustration of a diving header.
Well, look, talking to the snappers, Andy, I don't know if you know, Eddie Keogh is the England official team photographer. Mm. And, of course, he's to get the England goals, he's behind that goal. So when Raheem scores and comes over and they start lobbing all of those drinks and stuff, Eddie's in the firing line.
Lovely.
He said, the stewards did nothing to stop it. My hair needs a wash now. Beer shampoo is rubbish, he says. So spare a thought for the snappers who are normally in the firing line when things like that happen.
Talking of photos, when Raheem scored, of course, Moose put up one of his My Friend photos. Honestly, one of the worst ones ever. It's basically a photo of Moose trying to shake Raheem's hand as he's on the run, and he's a blur, Raheem. He's going so fast past him.
I love, honestly. Nothing will ever touch his Pelé Maradona one, where he's eavesdropping about a mile away on a conversation of this. Or indeed when Cristiano re-signed for Manchester United. It's Cristiano basically walking past him and looking in his direction. I mean, that doesn't make them great friends.
Not really.
Maybe if you've got any pictures to match the Moose in terms of, you say, oh yeah, I've got a picture with Pelé, and basically it's you and then sort of Pelé about 2 miles away, they're just a speck in the distance. So if you've got any pictures to mirror the Moose's finest work, do let us know this afternoon. Talksport.com, text 81089 to tweet TSH&J. I suppose, you know, photography on the radio never really comes across, but we'll do our best to bring
it
to life. Yeah. Now
we'll put it on Twitter.
Occasionally, we play What's in Andy's Bag. The occasional series where we go down. We're not going to do it today. Don't worry.
Not
we
much
play.
In there, really.
We go What's in Andy's Bag, and normally it's like Boots. It's like a branch of Boots, and I've never had the need to call upon Andy's What's in Andy's Bag.
Yes.
But I feel a bit under the weather today, so I thought a couple of paracetamol would only sort of kicked in on my way in. So I thought that will help me. And you came to the rescue, Andy.
Oh,
so
yeah,
for the first time ever. Your mobile apothecary has paid out.
Well,
so
it's good.
I do
suffer from minor ailments, as we all do.
Yeah, blimey. There was a lot of rehydration tablets, hundreds of them. You're basically a husk without them. It's amazing. Yeah.
Talking of Ronaldo, I was watching that game, the Portugal Ireland game on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And it was an incredible game. I was sort of hoping, because I'm one of those people that hopes that he won't be a success for United. You know, I might as well be honest about
that's
it.
That's nice.
Well,
yeah.
You know.
Because it means that Chelsea will get beaten. You're putting your club loyalties in the way. If he'd gone to City, if he'd gone anywhere, you'd be feeling that.
Absolutely.
Like this,
you know, thinking, oh, I hope he's old and I hope he's bad. And he was really poor. And I think he's really, you know, he doesn't look the same player. And then he suddenly changed his position and became that central striker. It was ridiculous what he did, the way he scored those two goals. And the last header was like the hang time of the league. It was like Jordan, Jordan-esque. It was incredible. One thing from last night's game, Sam Matface, commentating, he mentioned Shaloy and Sorloy. But he forgot to mention their cousin who used to play for Northants, Malloy. It's a shame it wasn't their birthday.
They're a great family, the Loy family, aren't they? It's good that they're still out there playing.
It's true, really.
Or Sava, his Greek cousin.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course. What a tremendous player he was. Always seen him in that very tight red shirt, almost like a second skin.
Of course, absolutely. And I noticed yesterday, reading the Sun, that David and Victoria Beckham have kitted out their Oxfordshire home, it says in the Sun, with an 7,000 £7,000 American ice cream machine from fast food giant Wendy's. And a source said Posh hasn't eaten ice cream in about 2 decades. You don't know that, do you? Because she's so health conscious. It doesn't mean she wouldn't have an ice cream occasionally.
And again.
But she agreed to get the Wendy's machine. I don't know. This person knows this. Packed over from the US because their daughter Harper loves a sweet treat. Can't they just buy her an ice cream?
Yeah.
They had to buy her an ice cream machine.
Why wasn't the headline Child Likes Ice Cream? Bear in woods.
Exactly.
Ludicrous. I thought of you, Andy, when I saw Lewis Hamilton arriving for the Dutch Grand Prix.
Tremendous.
What a turnout. He's wearing, everything is orange. Every item of clothing he is wearing, and knowing he's...
Of it goes with each other. Yeah. It's fantastic. That's always the way he dresses.
Slightly different shades of orange.
Terrible.
It's kind of a long... Where do you find a long orange Mac at short notice?
No idea.
Where do you find a complete orange wardrobe?
It's a good point, actually. Orange sunglasses as well.
Yeah.
It's tremendous.
He didn't just throw that on, did he? That morning,
there was a brilliant star texter on Lewis. These people are barely literate. Funny owl, O-W, Lewis Winger Hamilton only moans when, W-E-N, things don't go his way. Well, he's not going to moan when he's winning, is he, mate?
It's not a great advert for the education system, is it, really? The star texters, really? Andy. Yeah. I've got no idea why they do that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, 25 years or so ago, Harry Pearson, journalist and author, wrote The Far Corner. And he went off and explored the world of Northeast football. At a time in Northeast football was, they may say locally, in fine fettle. But not quite the case any longer, sadly. But he has returned with The Father Corner, which is out now in paperback. A sentimental return to Northeast football. And he joins us now. Good afternoon, Harry.
Good afternoon, boys.
Yeah, it was a lovely exchange at the beginning of the book, which kind of sums up what you're talking about, because there's two old boys chatting on the bus about how terrible their team is. And as you say, it's early Saturday afternoon, Northeast England. Which team do they support? It hardly mattered.
It's true.
Because it could be any one of the region's big three. Couldn't it, really?
It certainly could, yeah. The big three are sort of slightly, sadly diminished. no longer quite so big. Maybe sort of moderate size. The big moderates, there should be, I think.
Because if you think of that era when you... I mean, Newcastle under Keegan, of course, that was that sort of era. You know, Borough.
Yeah,
with Brian Robson. And just after that sort of era, lots of big players in the squad. Sunderland were a top side playing in the top division. It's not quite happened at a time. Probably everybody felt at that time that it was all going places in the Northeast football-wise.
Well, yeah, it certainly did. I mean, when I wrote The Far Corner, it was just, I think at the end of that season when Brian Robson was appointed as manager of Middlesbrough and they announced the move to the Riverside Stadium. But even then, you know, if you'd said to me that within whatever it was, you know, 5 years, they'd sign the Brazilian Footballer of the Year and the Italian who just scored the winning goal in the European Cup final, you know, I would have thought you were mad. but, you know, those are the things that happen. And so there was that kind of glorious little period, which obviously I didn't write about. there was that little period then when everything looked to be fantastic. And then it's all gone sadly wrong since then. But predictably so, I think, for any Northeast football fan would more or less expect that. As the guys say, you know, are you going to the game this afternoon? He says, yeah, I'll take my punishment like a man.
It's true. You've delved much more into the lower reaches, haven't you? Did you find it sort of thriving at that level?
Well, that's one of the interesting things. Although the top level of Northeast football is struggling, the lower divisions, the Northern League in particular, is very, very strong. When they've won the FA Vars, regular appearances, the only teams, the Northeast teams that regularly appear at Wembley, you know, teams like North Shields, Dunstan, Consett, they're at Hebburn, they've all appeared at Wembley, whereas, you know, obviously the big three haven't. So yes, I mean the strength of the game at that level is much higher. When I write The Far Corner, 25 years ago, you know, the crowds were generally below 100. Now a lot of the Northern League teams are pulling in 400 or 500 for every game, you know, which at that level of football is a lot of people. So they're really sort of joyous as well. And following those teams, I think, has given a lot of people a big boost. You know, I was talking to someone at Dunstan who said he'd been a Newcastle season ticket holder for 40 years and he gave up his season ticket. Went to watch Dunstan and they won the FA Vars at Wembley within a year. You know, so it's like, wow,
glory
finally. Glory hunt, indeed, glory hunt.
What made you return to it now, Harry? Because, you know, the Far Corner was a very successful, popular book, and I'm sure there's publishers saying, well, why not revisit it 10 years on? But why did you wait this long?
I think sort of 25 years seemed like a good length of time, and also I felt that football... You know, football had changed again immensely. And obviously, you know, in the time since I wrote The Far Corner, you've had, you know, the Premier League, the reorganisation of the Champions League and, you know, the Bosman rulings, the influx I've said of foreign players. All these things had changed immensely. And a lot of those, of course, trickle down into the non-league scene. I mean, the arrival of agents. So I was talking to a guy who manages one of the Northern League clubs. And he said, even the players at my level are coming in with agents now. He said, I had a guy come in the other week. He said, what are you offering us? I said, you get £50 a week and a fish supper after every home game. And the guy said, we want £60. So he said, I said to him, you can have 55, but you're not getting any mushy peas.
What a great bit of bargaining.
Great
there.
Bit of bargaining.
I took in a couple of non-league games when I wasn't able to watch Premier League football with my team, Spurs, and really did enjoy it. And I think that enjoyment, that there's a big difference, isn't there? There's a real love of feeling much closer to, I don't know, not much closer to the club, because I don't support these teams particularly, but just closer to the game.
I think that's true. And I think there's a kind of warmth and camaraderie about them that's been very noticeable coming back to it. You know, I mean, there hadn't been a Northern League game, I think, for 278 days. And when you came back, you really felt like you were sort of meeting up with your family after years. Because a lot of these people, you know, Stan I talk to during with games, practically every club in the Northeast, there's always someone that I know, but I realise I don't know anything about them apart from standing with them at football. And that's actually quite a nice thing. You don't know about their family, their job. They don't know that about you, you know, and it's actually quite a nice thing to just keep everything on the level of football sort of witter, really.
Yeah. It's interesting.
You know, and every time I go to one of these clubs, I hear something. You know, there's always some story. When I was at a club the other day, and the guy said that the next door to it, there's a little paddock with horses in it. And he said, oh, if the ball goes in there, we can't get it because the guy doesn't let us go in there. And I said, oh, really? He says, oh, yeah, we went in once. And then when we came in for training on the Tuesday, there was hoof prints all over the field because the guy had let his horses on. He thought we'd been in his paddock, so he'd let his horses on our field.
Ridiculous.
So there's always like a funny little thing like that you hear, you know, and people are, as I say, people are just so warm and friendly at those places. And you really feel, you know, when you pay your £5 at the turnstile, you really feel that means something, you know, to that club. You know, when I wrote the book, Dunstan got through to, they played Gateshead in a televised game in the FA Cup. And the money from that FA Cup run, it paid for so many ground improvements and would actually keep them going probably for 3 years. So there's that, you know, there's that aspect of it as well. You feel by paying and going along, you're actually helping.
No, it's true. And it's interesting though, I was just to make the point about Sunderland and Borough have, you know, fallen from the high points that they were when you wrote about it originally. But Newcastle's still in the Premier League, but it would have been interesting to see what would have happened. I don't think there's any club in football more riper for investment than Newcastle. It's such a potentially huge team, and it would have been interesting to see what happened if the Saudis had been allowed to buy Newcastle. I mean, not talking about from a moral point of view, but from a
or anybody football, coming in with that injection
yeah,
of cash,
from
I guess.
A football point of view.
Well, I mean, yeah, because you saw that, you know, when I wrote the far corner, when Kevin Keegan came in, just the excitement that it generates. You can't. It's hard to. It's hard to quantify. I mean, people were, you know, I was getting my hair cut when he came back the second time. I was getting my hair cut and someone stuck his head in and said, Keegan's back. And the barber just ran out of the barber's shop and like left me with a kind of, I looked like a kind of, with a kind of Filoki haircut. He never came back. I don't know where he went. You know, that's literally, these sort of middle-aged men just became completely hysterical. Yeah. So yeah, if they, you know, if they won anything, I just dread to, you'd never get a haircut for a month.
It's true.
And finally, so some of the other things going back to the far corner, your original book, and some of the characters, one sadly no longer with us, but quite the character, because Darlington were in their pomp first time around.
Oh, yeah.
Under George Reynolds, who I think died earlier this year. But we spoke to George a few times and he came in to chat about his book, The Former Safe Breaker Turn Owner of Darlow. It's, quite the character.
He was. I remember being actually in the press box at Darlington when he came and expelled a reporter because he didn't like something the man had written. And all the time the guy was, and he said, I don't want to hear from you. I've heard from you. Get out. You know, I read that thing you wrote in the Daily Mail. And as the man was finally leaving, having been sent out, we heard him, he could just hear him say, I work for the Express.
Oh, dear. And you went back to Darlington for the book. You did Darlington Southport, because the book kind of is kind of through the eyes of all of these games, of matches.
Well, it is, yeah. And I mean, Darlington had been interesting here because obviously they're owned by the fans, and they're at a difficult point now where the fans who own the club, the thousand I think they're called, who put money in to support it, now there's a lot of younger fans who are saying, you know, we need to move to the next level, we need investment, and these guys are saying, yeah, we've had investment before and it hasn't exactly worked out, you know. So they're in this sort of, that sort of strange balance with football where you want your team to be successful, but at the same time, if you bring in the money to make it successful, it could actually have completely the opposite effect. Yeah. Something maybe Newcastle need to bear in mind, I guess.
Well, it's great fun, Harry. Enjoyed it. Yeah. And good to talk to you again. We will catch up with you soon. Thanks very much.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks very much, guys. Bye-bye.
Harry Pearson's book, The Farther Corner, is available now in paperback. Yes, cracking read. He's got a great ear, so he just picks up on some brilliant stories and great conversations and anecdotes. It's a lovely book, very funny.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, if you're on social media, a couple of weeks back, something quite odd popped up that got a bit of traction, and it was the Steve Bruce wedding shop. An array of goods featuring the face of the Newcastle United manager.
Nice.
Covering all your wedding needs, including confetti and other items. Well, we've been trying to track down the people behind it, and we think we may have done. Bill Rice is the man responsible, amongst others, and he joins us now. Hello, Bill.
Evening, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We're good, thank you. Yeah, we were quite taken, intrigued, and quite taken with the range of goods. So, where did this idea come from?
Well, it started quite a few years ago, actually. I was at a football match. It was QPR versus Hull. It was early on in the season, so it was very hot. And Steve Bruce was on the touchline wearing his wearing a very dapper suit. But because it was very hot, his top button had been undone. He was sweating a little bit, as we all were. And I remember thinking he looked like the father of a bride at a wedding at about 2 a.m. So I think that's where the germ of the idea came from. And it just ended up from there.
There's a lot of mocked up photos. They're not real, are they? Obviously, Steve at various people's
weddings.
Well,
they might
wedding.
Be.
Yeah.
So neither confirm or can deny.
They look very good, though.
What weddings do you have Steve at, Bill?
Just random weddings. Quite often people send me pictures of their weddings and they would like me to add Steve Bruce. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's a career for Steve after football for maybe going to weddings. Maybe I should start a commission. I don't know.
Like a serial wedding.
Elvis Presley's, Priscilla Presley's wedding. That's good.
Yeah.
Being quite
so
flummoxed.
Just talk us through some of the range of wedding items in the Steve Bruce wedding shop.
Yes, I mean, this was actually Twitter's idea. They came to me and said they were going to move a shop, but you can get life-size Steve Bruce cutouts, I believe, that can go at your weddings. There's a Steve Bruce tie. There's Calm Your Nerves, Steve Bruce chewing gum, Steve Bruce confetti. But yeah, there's a lot of very witty ideas. Some of them not mine, I'm afraid. They were from Twitter, but they were very, very, very good.
Yeah,
Twitter did things like that.
He's at Leonor. it's just normally a theatre of hate, isn't it? Yeah. It's quite nice. He's doing something that's a bit of fun for a change. He's at Lionel Messi's wedding holding up a banner, which I thought was quite
very nice.
Yeah. So
I'm trying to get onto BruceUpYourWedding.com and I've been blocked.
I don't know why we have a problem there. I tried that a little bit earlier on.
It is very popular. I know some of the items have sold out because I think they had to do a restock. It was so popular. So
it's gone better than you thought. I mean, you did this for a bit. Did you actually think many people were going to buy Steve Bruce confetti? I mean, I suppose if you're a Newcastle fan, as the players run out, it's a bit like the old torn up bits of paper if the Argentinians have, isn't it? It'd be nice to throw a bit of Steve Bruce confetti as the team run out, I think.
I never quite expected it to go this far, to be honest. It was just something I did one afternoon to amuse myself, and it kind of went from there, really.
Well, we got something else you might want to add to the shop, a little audio file you may be able to sell on, because we have connections, of course, that can take us to Steve Bruce, and we thought it might be quite nice that if Steve gave you kind of an approximation of the wedding ceremony. So, well, have a listen to this, Bill.
Okay, son, repeat after me. Here we go. I, Scott, take you, Charlene, to be my lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold from corners and set pieces mostly, from this day forward, for richer, for poorer, depending on what division you're in, in sickness and in health, and those days when you've got a bit of a knock but you still want to play, until death us do part, especially if that death is caused by Eddie Carberry.
There we are, a little nod there to Stryker, one of Steve's fantastic murder mystery books. That, of course, was our old mate Ian Danter, the voice of Steve Bruce.
Good.
And yeah, but it'd be nice. Wouldn't it be nice if Steve did the ceremony for you? Wouldn't it be just come along? Maybe you haven't got to get ordained. You can do it as you can be a lay preacher. It might be quite a nice. Can you think he'd be bothered? I don't think he would be.
I think Steve very much enjoys the other side of the weddings, really, the partying, the enjoying, and the mixing. I think he's very much that side that it appeals to him.
Yeah. Well, brilliant. Look, it's sometimes the simplest ideas that you've got 35,000 people can't be wrong, and they're all there hanging on your every picture with Steve Bruce inserted at a wedding. So as we say, it's just all about the idea. So thank you, Bill. Go and check it out. Steve Bruce at weddings, at Bruce at wedding, and they're all there for you. It's the infamous, just some lovely moments from people's weddings featuring Steve Bruce. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a good day.
Yeah, we are. And the shop, I believe the shop, it's more like they're having to restock because they've sold.
Really?
I wonder what Steve makes of it all.
Nonplussed, a bit like you would have put. Probably liked
it. But as he was. We can understand he heard Stryker, and at one point we thought we might get him on to have a chat about it.
We hear that he was interested.
I think it may have been at the time when... It's always difficult, isn't it? Because I think he said he would come on, but then maybe Newcastle had a bad game on Saturday and he didn't want to... come on it being seen as...
Dance's nose has only just recovered.
A frivolous chat. But apparently the word we got back from his connections is that he saw the funny side.
Yeah.
Which is definitely him grabbing us by the throat when we see him at the Football Writers' Do next year. So let's head back to the Oval.
Drinks, a chance to...
Look at where England are at. We are in a good situation now, aren't we? We've got a game.
Yeah, absolutely. 185 for six here, England. So they trail by just six runs with two batsmen at the crease. Ollie Pope, 61. That's the top score for the Test match across both parties. And Moeen Ali, who's 14, not out. And really, India's team selection in sharp focus here today because whilst they seem to fancy Ravi Jadeja as a batsman, promoting him up the order yesterday, bizarre fashion, ahead of Rahane and Punt. They don't fancy him as a bowler. He's not been throwing the ball for too many throughout this series, really. And the other change, Shardul Thakur, who really brought India back into this Test match with his quick fire 50 yesterday. But look, if you're going to be bowling around 78 miles an hour with a ball that's 50 overs old, you've really got to be landing it on a tuppence, a bit like we see Ollie Robinson do. Thakur is all over the place, and Moeen Ali has just latched on to a short wide delivery, and he has actually smashed through the covers for four. Somewhat flighty shot against the somewhat quicker Jasprit Bumrah in the over beforehand, though. Virat Kohli, who had three fielders stationed in the covers, but he'd taken out third slip to do that. The tempter was there, and Ali really a nothing kind of shot, and the ball flew at head height through vacant third slip for four. So look, Ali's taking the attack back to the Indians. It's what we need to see, really. England need a lead on first innings of at least 50, I'd say, and they're looking good to do that now. Pope 61, Ali 14, and this Test match continues to entertain. England six behind, they're 185 for six.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Andy.
Yes, Ali Ross always enjoys it when I comment on his special section in his column, Unexpected Morons in the Bagging Area. This is people who give stupid answers to television quiz shows.
Yes.
And this week, I'm afraid, I got two out of the three. But there's always one in there. I think, what? See, I don't know the answer to that.
It's there as an item of ridicule, but no. To you, it's like a proper quiz.
It is. On the chase, Bradley Walsh said, what brand of vacuum cleaner shares its name with a predatory fish? And the bloke said Dyson, which is obviously wrong, but... Yeah. I didn't know the answer. Is it a Hoover?
No, what? Hoover the predatory fish? What is this, a Disney?
What predatory fish is a vacuum cleaner?
Okay, well, let's work our way back. What would you call the most predatory fish?
A shark.
There is a, believe it or not, it's a vacuum cleaner called shark.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's where I went wrong.
Oh, that's what it was. That's what it was. Your knowledge of vacuum cleaners, not predatory fish.
This one was terrific, though, from a bloke on Mastermind, Clive Myer. He said, in February 2021, which member of the British royal family gave birth to a son named August Philip Hawke Brooksbank? And Barbara came up with the answer, the Queen Mother.
Fairly sensational, since she died about 10 years ago or something. That's not great, is it, really?
Not okay, ideal.
That is a corker.
Well done to Team TalkSport for taking the Racing League title. That was very exciting.
Yeah,
they
brilliant
they
work.
Were third
I think,
going
you know,
into
Rupert
it.
Bell took all the praise, but I think Alan Brazil did all the donkey work. He was the real brains behind the... Didn't turn up at all, apparently.
No, nothing.
Complete
I bet
absent.
He doesn't even know the result.
He'll be on the show next week. Oh, I did so much. I was, I just, yeah. But anyway, yeah, well done to Team Talks, but they won. Rupert Bell.
Oh, yeah,
the winning,
good, isn't it?
The winning manager, and his brother, of course, the trainer, Michael.
Yeah, and that was exciting. And where was I? Oh, yeah, a very good quote from Conor Gallagher. He was talking about being influenced by Patrick Vieira.
Mm.
And he said he's never actually seen him play. He said, I think I was a couple of years too young to watch him, unfortunately. From videos I've seen, I know he was a top player, box to box, like I like myself to be. It's a great expression, isn't it?
Well, I think
why does he just say like I am?
Yeah. Well, no, he's not there to, you know, he's not there to be erudite. He's there to play football, isn't he? Not that he isn't.
Terrific. But, yeah, that was great.
A bit, talking of odd turns of phrase, this was the good people at the Sun telling us that that pie maker, Pucker, takes on Greggs and Ginsters by launching a range of 7 handheld snacks. I'm thinking, you don't eat them with your feet, do you? It's quite an odd...
I think they mean as opposed to on a plate with a knife and fork.
I suppose, but you don't ever say, well, what you got there? I've got a handheld snack. You know, it's just... Not a mobile phone, is it?
You wouldn't eat a burger with a knife and fork. But some people might.
We did ask... Oh, yes, all kicking off in the world of international football. We spoke to Tim Vickery the other day, and you'll be aware that certain players have gone to represent South American teams, and there seemed to be a deal in place that they wouldn't play the third games. That was, I would imagine, what Tottenham and Aston Villa thought when they sent off their Argentinian contingent to play for Argentina in the World Cup qualifiers. But now, apparently, Argentina have said, oh, no, they're playing in all three games.
Oh, no.
So they will,
Scaloni from September the 18th.
That's right. They'll then have to go into 10 days of isolation.
I was thinking last night, you know, there was a lot of chat at halftime about this, you know, early season international break. And it always comes at the wrong time. It's always annoying. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the players. Why don't they? I was thinking about this. This is so logical. This is a much better idea than Arsene Wenger. They should employ me. Why don't they play the first international break at the end of September, last week of September, last week in October, last week in November? Wouldn't that be a much better idea? Then at least the teams would have played at least 5 or 6 league games. The players will be more up to speed. You know, you get more...
So you're talking about just playing one game in a break?
No, I'm talking about the same thing, but instead of being at the beginning of the month, it'd be at the end of the month. So
well, it's a kind of 2-week cycle, isn't it? You'd have to take like the first week of 1 month.
Yeah, last week of September, first week of October.
Yeah, no,
it's not a bad idea. It's better than Arsene Wenger's idea.
A very good point you made. If Arsene Wenger was still a club manager, he would not be suggesting I'm doing a Conor Gallagher there.
He would not be suggesting
that we have a World Cup every 2 years.
That's right.
And meaning that players don't get a break. What were European Championships? A break at all any summer.
I don't know, he's not embarrassed by this. You can't possibly think. You must have grown up, Arsene, loving World Cups. You love football. The whole thing of it was only every 4 years. You'd see players you didn't even know about. You surely must remember that feeling. Why would you want it every 2 years if it wasn't just for money?
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I'm disappointed in him.
Yeah,
I am.
Not a great idea.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again on Monday, reflecting on the international weekend. So if you can join us, great. If not, the podcast will be available at around 4:30. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.